No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Dennis. Today, we are your crew on this holiday edition of Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Hopefully, you're making the most of the holidays and flying your plane as much as possible. And if you don't have one or you're not even a pilot, maybe you can meet one during the holidays and say, you know what I want for Christmas? I want you to take me up in your airplane. Give me a free Discover flight or go in your local airport and talk to the FBO and find out if one of the operators does that. That is a great gift. You know, the gift of aviation, the gift of flight. Are you with me on this, Dennis, or what?
Absolutely. Hey, just find your local friendly pilot and offer to buy them a hamburger, and I bet they'll offer to take you for a plane ride.
Yeah, now that hamburger is going to cost you $100.
At least.
Yeah. Because they, you know, they figure in fuel and all that. And actually, it's probably more like a couple $100 these days. But
it's
still
worth it.
Yeah, it, of course it is. They get a, you know, a Santa's eye view of the ground below. I mean,
you can see who's naughty or nice, right?
You could do that, or you could zoom in on the people that are, you know, being more naughty and kind of turn it into a whole thing. But we don't advise that. Just go down, you know, go down to the airport and tell them you want a Discover flight. That's that would be a great thing if you're not a aviator, or if you have a friend that's a non-flying, you know, individual, you can bring them into the fold.
And and if you don't know which one of the people there is a pilot, don't worry, they'll tell you.
True, good point. Yes, indeed. Now I need some of those flights. I'm waiting for you to come down from Minnesota. And to Orlando, but I don't think that's going to happen until after the first of the year, though, right?
Well, maybe over Christmas break here. We're trying to see if we can make that work between college break and school. So
yeah, we'll see.
We've just got to keep an eye on the weather is really the limiting factor now. We got the time off. It's just a matter of if Mother Nature cooperates.
Well, I'm going to be in the Turks and Caicos next week doing some diving off of a boat. So I don't think I get to do any flying other than flying commercial over to Provo. But when I get back, yeah, maybe so. Now, you've been pretty busy, though, with the family flying and outshining your aviation accolades. I mean, they're getting way more attention than you. Is that right? Abby's in the news?
That's right. The local newspaper just did an article on the fact that my daughter was able to solo a glider before she can drive a car. And they actually did a really nice write-up on that, and they actually went in and, you know, talked to us, and I was able to take that reporter up for a flight and gave her, you know, a bird's-eye view of the city and what we go through and how we enjoy it. And, you know, the fact that my son is off in college, you know, pursuing his dream to be a professional pilot as well, and that was all featured in the article, and it was really nice on the front page.
Okay, so that was last weekend, this past weekend?
Yep.
How about that? Now, when she wrote the article, had she already written it when you took her up for the free flight in your Mooney?
No, actually, she was doing a lot of the interview in the car, driving up to the airport, and while we were doing the pre-flight, and even in the air, she was asking Abby a lot of questions, and I just played tour guide.
Huh? Did you?
It was really all about her.
Well, as it should be. But did you get up there and say, "Hey, you know, that's my daughter you're talking to. If you expect to get back down to the ground safely, I suggest you write a very positive sounding article."
No, that would come across real well, threatening reporters and freedom of the press and that whole thing.
It may not come across well, but I think it would be effective. I'm just saying. You know,
yeah.
But you didn't need to do that.
We did not. I really wasn't sure which direction the article was going to go. The whole reason I reached out to her is a week or two earlier, she'd done an article on a local pilot that had flown to all of the airports in Minnesota. The same program that I'm trying to do, that Minnesota Passport, where you get the little stamp at every FBO.
Right.
Well, this woman did that, and I thought it was really neat. And I said, well, here's another perspective. Since you talked to a pilot that has been doing this for a while. How does one start in it? Here's my daughter, you know, eager to learn to fly. And she ran with the article and it was fantastic.
Nice. Well, congratulations to Abby. So it's all about how she kind of got pushed into the aviation thing, got her gliding pilot license before she even got her driver's license. And it was all obviously because of you and your influence on her. Is that fair to say? Take credit when
that's,
you can.
That's probably a good way to put it. And, you know, that's been my philosophy with flying in general, too. Anybody who's interested in flying, I'm more than happy to take them up, take them out to the airport, because I'm trying to inspire the next generation as well.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And the generation above them, like me or whatever. So well, he's going to come.
I don't know. I think we all agree that you're kind of a lost cause at this point.
No, so I'm a special case.
Prove me wrong.
I will. But I'm going to. I absolutely am going to prove you wrong. But congratulations on that. That's good stuff. Now, the other thing you did this week is you continue to share the love of flying. And, you know, once again, this is a great time to do it during the holidays. You put a post up online looking for somebody to fly with. Now, this is all like single white female stuff from what I saw. I was like, well, Dennis, what are you doing there, man? Where did you post this?
Well, I'm going out to L.A. For business here in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I thought this is a perfect opportunity to go fly in the L.A. airspace, only I don't have my own airplane with me. Yeah. I'm not going to fly from Minnesota to L.A. for a business meeting when I have to be there on a certain date and time and try to fly over the mountains. Yeah, it's just not the right time of year.
Right.
So I reached out to my fellow Mooniacs on Moonyspace, which is a message board for Mooney enthusiasts.
Okay.
And lo and behold, in less than 2 hours, I've got a volunteer that's willing to take me flying and suggesting I meet him down at John Wayne, Orange County, and maybe we'll go out to Camarillo and grab a hamburger.
Sweet.
So I get to fly in the Bay Area crazy airspace for the first time without having to go do it solo.
Yeah.
I get to go with somebody who's been around there once or twice.
No, this is like one step removed from hitchhiking, isn't it? I mean, you don't know this guy, but you feel comfortable enough because he's in that exclusive Mooney group, I guess,
that's
right?
That's right. He looks like, according to his bio, he flies a Mooney S model, so he's got a newer, faster one than me, so I think he's all right.
Aha. Uh-huh. But he has the same bug where he wants to share the love of aviation, obviously. He's willing to, you know, take you up in exchange for free meal or something and some fuel. You basically just want to see what it's like flying around there, right?
Yeah, I'd love to go fly over the LA area, you know, and just see the craziness. You know, there's Class Bravos and Charlies that are all intersecting with one another that it becomes one big mess when you look at the chart. It'd be kind of fun to experience that firsthand.
Yes. Well, yeah, when someone else is at the wheel, too. Yeah. I would imagine, yeah, that would be the way to do it.
Depending on how it all works out, maybe we can actually work it into at least a flyby over Catalina, but I honestly have no idea the scope of, you know, what we're going to do if we're flying out of John Wayne, Orange County on the south side there, if that's even a possibility.
Well, that'd be pretty sweet. You do that flyover, have a buffalo burger, and then come back. That would be pretty awesome. But I don't know.
If nothing else, Camarillo's apparently got a very good restaurant there, and I think I'm also going to try to get out to Plains of Fame maybe on one of the days I'm out there just to take in the museum.
Yeah. Well, he'd probably ask to have, if you fly from John Wayne over to Catalina, he'd have to have special water precaution stuff in his plane, wouldn't he?
I'm sure there's shoreline. You can fly along the shoreline. There's a special VFR corridor that gets you through LAX.
Yeah.
So I think you could stay over land most of the way, and then it's just a little hop over the water. What is it, 20 miles?
Yeah,
over
probably not even that, I bet. Yeah. But I'm just, yeah, well, and plus it's a private flight, so it wouldn't matter anyway. You can do what the heck you want. It's just if you had a paying customer, they didn't have to have a raft
required
and all
to have
that.
Life jackets.
Exactly. And you're a diver. You don't need any of that stuff. Not that it would go down, but that sounds exciting. So you hope to do that within the next week or two. And of course you'll come back and tell us all about it, right?
That's the plan.
Yeah. So have you checked the guy out? Have you talked to him a little bit more than just the little invite online? Are you still
just a little introduction? We'll get more once we get closer and, you know, make arrangements, time, and, you know, where to meet and which FBO, things like that. But
yeah, well, yeah, you're going to have to ask him some questions. Make sure he has his stuff together. I mean, he has a nice plane.
I'll make sure that he's a listener of Just Plane Radio.
Well, don't hold that against him.
No, that's probably a reason to go with him.
Okay. Well, yes, that could be. But you just want to make sure, you know, he has all his ducks in a row. And if he has a more recent Mooney, I'm sure that is the case. but you got to take your, you know, little signals or see if there's any red flags and make sure he does everything properly. Even, you know, like that video you sent me this week with the hang glider. Oh, my gosh. It makes, yeah, you know, why would you want to get out of a perfectly good airplane kind of story is what this is. But it's like this hang glider instructor in Switzerland. It was a Florida guy, goes to Switzerland on vacation, and he takes his first tandem hang gliding flight, and they forget to attach him to the instructor.
They didn't strap him in, so the guy's, you know, literally hanging with one hand from the bar and clutching onto the instructor's pant leg.
That is a great vacation video. One that I don't want to appear in, but hey, I knew that guy.
What is it with you Florida guys? It's always, when bad things happen, it's a Florida man.
It's something's in the water down here, I think, for sure. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, kids. I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on its way in from New York.
You serious, Clark?
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Dennis. Tom Haynes from AOPA is threatening to join us here before we wrap up today's virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information. So we have that to look forward to. But in the meantime, you know, last week, I guess it was right after showtime thereabouts, we got word that there was an earthquake in Anchorage, Alaska. Obviously, it was all over the news. And there was quite a story from the air traffic control. I actually just heard them talking about it on the news from their perspective, like, hey, the one place you don't want to be when there's an earthquake is in a control tower. Which makes sense, I guess. But
130 feet above the ground on a really skinny, tall building.
Exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun, does it?
No, it doesn't. That sounds like an amazing thrill ride or the Tower of Terror, you know, down the street here at Disney.
E-ticket ride at
Epcot. At least. But, you know, I heard about that, but I didn't hear much about the planes flying. But I guess there was a story about, what was it, a FedEx plane that was on final when the earthquake hit? Is that what happened with that ATC report or what?
Well, there was a number of airplanes, but it started off, the earthquake hit right as a FedEx Heavy was coming inbound to land at Anchorage.
Yeah.
And it was just funny because all of a sudden, you know, this airliner, I'm sure, is all set up and ready to land. And the tower's like, FedEx, go around. And you hear the pilot, was that for FedEx? It's like, not what you're looking for, you know?
Exactly. But, don't you know who I am? Come on, look at me. And they didn't really know what was going on other than, hey, wait a minute, we're having an earthquake. It might not be the best time to land right now. But
Right. And so all of a sudden, the controllers is telling, everybody that's moving around, hey, we're about to vacate the TRACON here. We're, evacuating the tower. We've got equipment all over the place here. Yet he was still able to talk on the radio, and he was telling it, anybody that's on the ramp or taxiing in, just treat it like it's a non-controlled field right now. This is just an advisory frequency. Just everybody self-announce. And, he cleared to land a couple more airplanes, and then they stopped arrivals. They got the trucks rolling out on the runway to go and inspect and see if they had, pavement breaks, because, you sure wouldn't want to have an airliner come in and then hit a big old crack in the pavement.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, that would be
an otherwise great flight, right?
It would ruin a perfectly good day for sure, at the bare minimum.
But well, I see Hollywood's going to be all over this. This is going to be the next skyscraper type movie
at
starring
least, yeah.
The Rock.
I was going to say this whole plot thing is kind of something we see different variations of from Hollywood all the time, where the plane goes up and the world ends, or they go through a time jump, or and now we'll have to have one where they have a earthquake and they got to stay flying for as long as they can figure out, is it over? Should we try to land now, or what do we do? But that's what they did. They just
there'll
set it up.
Medical emergencies. There'll be a in-flight romance all
right.
happening. I got the script already figured out.
Okay.
So Hollywood, please call me.
He's already got the rough draft ready to go. So yeah, I don't know. It all worked out though. I heard they had a little damage, but not anything major that they couldn't keep the airport going. So that was good, I guess.
Yeah, they were able to get everybody down safely, and it didn't sound like anybody was actually hurt. It wasn't like the pictures you saw of the freeway that was all buckled and cars stranded in the middle of big chunks of pavement.
Right. Yeah, that is not what you would want to see on your final, I don't think. That would make you a little uneasy.
No, but I think we'd be going to our alternate at that point.
Yeah, but where would it be? There's not a whole lot of places to go up there, is there?
Well, you got Fairbanks, and there's other cities in Alaska, and I'm as an airliner, you definitely would have an alternate factored into your flight plan. But for any pilot, really, you should always factor in that, what if I can't get into my destination?
Well, yeah, but it's not like a close airport that you can go land on. I mean, when the big one happens in California, let's face it, California's falling off.
Land in Nevada.
Yeah, exactly. You got to change states, so you better have a pretty good fuel reserve there. Yeah, when the big one hits. I don't know if the California, aviators have taken that into account, but they maybe should do this after they see these stories. But I don't know.
Palm Springs becomes oceanfront, right?
Well, exactly. There's a plus for everybody, I guess, when that happens. But just I don't know if I'd want to be in an airplane flying around there when it happened.
You can put it on the river. They put it in the beach harbor?
Well, yeah, but you better be in the air than down on the ground, I guess. Yeah. So you could fly out of harm's way. So I don't know. There's pluses and minuses of all of it. And you got to just make sure you have those contingency plans set. All right. Now, another story that popped up this week is a guy was flying to the islands. That's what Dennis and I hope to do here at the beginning of the year, whether it's the Bahamas or someplace in the Caribbean in his Mooney, and a reason to have a co-pilot with you. And so, if you're flying and you put it on autopilot and you fall asleep, you won't fly over the island you're trying to visit, which is what happened to this poor schlub, right?
Yeah, it looks like the flight was going from mainland Australia to Tasmania, which is about... And the guy overshot the island that he was going to be landing on by something like 30 miles. He finally woke up and turned around and landed. But
yeah,
kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, embarrassing and disorienting, I would imagine, as well. I mean, at what point do you think, oh, no! when he woke up Do you think, surely it took them a few minutes to figure like, oh, wait a minute, what the heck happened here?
You and me, you know, you get out of bed and you're, you know, slapping the alarm clock and all groggy. Can you imagine waking up and, you know, oh, what's this in front of me? You know, it's the yoke and the throttles. And, oh, where are we? Look, trying to figure out your position on the GPS or.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously his stuff didn't alert him to the overflight, or at least it wasn't loud enough to wake him up.
Yeah. Dreams where you're sleeping so hard that your alarm's going off and you work it into your dream. You know,
yeah.
It's like the radio playing. Maybe that's what he had. He was dreaming that he was flying somewhere and air traffic control was talking to him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think sleeping and flying your own plane is probably, you know, an activity that's encouraged by anyone in the FAA, let alone anyone else, period.
Well, I feel more concerned for the passengers in the back that probably had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Well, there's those folks, but they'd have no clue. They wouldn't know. But the poor guy up front, you know, that's why you got to have your co-pilot with you, right? Right, buddy? That's why you're going to need me.
The other one prods him awake.
Hey, well, exactly. The other one's just elbowing him or talking him to death. It may seem annoying, but I'm just trying to keep you awake. Yeah. So there's another story of what not to do, or at least, you know, plan for your contingency. The other thing is when you book your airline ticket for the holidays, why don't they give us an option to make sure you don't have to sit next to a big old fat guy?
And just a reminder, I'm flying commercial to L.A.
Oh, you're not that. You're just what we call in the business husky.
Pleasantly plump.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to be stuck next to Dennis. I mean, I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about what one guy did next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. So, Tom Haines from AOPA going to join us in just a bit, but everybody has to deal with this, whether you're in the aviation industry or not, and that is sometimes you book your airline tickets on these commercial carriers and you get stuck next to someone that is a little bit on the plump, husky side, or just should be really be taking two seats. But some of the airlines are actually forcing those folks to buy two seats. I've seen this, right? You've seen this, right,
yeah,
Dennis?
I've seen it. Articles where, you know, basically the criteria is if you need a seatbelt extender, you need to buy a second ticket.
Yeah.
Or you need to book yourself a ticket in first class with a bigger seat. You know, some sort of a compromise needs to be made.
Right. But that wasn't the case for this one guy. And
no,
he ended up asking for a restitution for his inconvenience being stuck next to a big old fat guy. Is that right?
Well, I think he went more beyond asking, more to filing a lawsuit against British Airways. Apparently, he's suffered personal injury and loss of earnings after being stuck next to a large passenger on a 12-hour flight from Bangkok to Heathrow.
Wow, 12 hours. And he suffered personal injury. What kind of injury would that be exactly?
Well, you know, I'm picturing, you know, the cartoon, you know, the little teeny guy and this great big gentleman, and he's just scrunched up against the window or something. You know,
yeah.
His elbow becomes part of his right chin or something. You know, I don't know.
Falls asleep on him. And he disappears.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened to that guy? There was another guy there at one time. No, I think he's kind of wedged up under the guy's fat rolls.
You know the cartoon where the guy, the lady's putting up the sign "missing dog." You know, and the
yes.
Stuck in her. Yeah, I'm picturing something like that. Maybe.
Well, yeah, I think it falls under the, you know, the restitution claims of pain and suffering or something that, I don't know, did he win this lawsuit or he just file it? Or do
I
we
don't know?
Know.
He just filed it, but he was describing the gentleman he sat next to as the size of Jonah Lomu, and I don't follow British rugby much, but I'm guessing that the guy is pretty big.
Isn't that the guy who played Jabba the Hutt in the Star Wars trilogy or something?
It was Jabba.
About the same size, I'm just guessing. Yeah, all right. Well, more coming up. Stay close to this special holiday edition of Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the box, so I had to come here.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. Now I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.
Yes, wave to them. They might take you up in their airplane for a free flight or whatever. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Dennis as your crew today. But we are joined now by AOPA's Tom Haynes. Tom, Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Hopefully the season.
Hey, thank you, Greg. Dennis,
well.
It's great to be here. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Yeah. So are you giving the gift of flight to all your friends, whether they're aviators or not? Like taking them up in your airplane and all that kind of stuff, or what?
I do whenever I can. You know, New Year's Day is actually a tradition of mine for flying every New Year's Day if the weather's at all fit. And whenever possible, I take somebody up with me. So you're always looking to spread the holiday cheer, sure.
Okay. All right.
Do you have any of the big fireworks displays over D.C. Over New Year's Eve?
Well, that would be great. Yeah, you could do that for sure.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe I could just fly into the special flight rules area around D.C.
and create my own fireworks show.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, fireworks over D.C., you kind of wonder, make sure they're fireworks. You hear what I'm saying? You never know.
Is that tracer fire?
Exactly. Am I supposed to be here? Wait, yeah, I think this is okay airspace. But regardless, yeah, given the gift of flight, remember that this is the time to think about it. It'll save you a lot of headaches at the, you know, at the mall. You don't have to waste your time doing that. Give a Discover flight to someone on your list or like, you know, or if you know Tom, you might be lucky enough and he'll take you up on New Year's Day. That'd be pretty sweet. So you got that, you know, in your sack, so to speak, to hand out to all the good little girls and boys, I see. But there's a new product or a new thing that everybody listening right now could get their hands on. And whether you're a pilot or maybe just thinking about getting into it, AOPA has just come out with some new book. Now, tell me about this, Tom.
Yeah, so just out, it's a 288-page hardback coffee table book that we've just written. Took us about a year. And it's called Freedom to Fly, AOPA and the History of General Aviation America. And it tells over the our anniversary, AOPA anniversary is next year at 80 years. And so we're telling the history of general aviation, if you will.
Nice.
Through the lens of AOPA. So really interesting characters that we've all heard about in aviation, names we all know, like Clyde Cessna, for example, or Bill Piper. And
Bob Hoover. What about Bob? Got him in there?
Bob Hoover, is that what you said?
Yeah.
We got Bob in there,
sure.
And Sean Tucker and Patty Wagstaff.
Okay.
And Roscoe Turner, you know, one of the early air race pilots. We've got sort of profiles of all of these interesting people through the history of general aviation included in this book, and the narration kind of weaves together what's happening in society during the various decades, you know, during the war, leading up to the war when AOPA was founded, and then in the period after, the big boom time in the 60s and 70s for general aviation, and what led to that and what led to the collapse of that. And also kind of a forward-looking chapter at the end where we talk about what we think the future of general aviation might be. So, we think it's a great book.
Well, give me a little tease. I you know, obviously, you got to get the book to get the full story. But when you brought up just, two things. I want to talk about the future. But going back to the past, you're saying the glory days of aviation was what, in the 60s and 70s? Is that what you were alluding to or what?
Yeah, so that's certainly when we saw the most new pilots coming into aviation and general aviation in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And also the most aircraft sales occurred. Actually, the highest number ever was in 1977, I think it was, or maybe 78. It was more than 17,000 airplanes delivered in just to give you a sense, that was all pretty much piston airplanes.
Okay, that was right around the time I was born. So does that mean that I
will? Oh, my God. Yeah, causal factor there.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I think that might be it. We've been looking for it for all these years. What happened? And now we know.
No, I don't think that's true. But I am wondering, did I miss a great time for the aviation world or industry? And obviously I did. But what caused it to slow down? Did you actually discuss that in the book a little bit or what?
Yeah, there's lots of theories behind that. For one thing is that 17,000 was just too many. It was a general aviation manufacturers just sort of overproducing, if you will, because they thought the market was out there and they were foisting way too many units off on their dealers. And the dealers then couldn't sell them. So in 1979 and 1980, the bottom just fell out of the market and the number of airplanes produced, you know, was cut by two-thirds practically overnight. And just point of reference, now these days we deliver only about 1,000 piston airplanes a year versus, you know, like I said, 17,000. So tax world changed. The investment tax credit went away in about 1980, and product liability became a real problem in the 80s, and we got some legislation passed in the 90s that helped with that. But societal changes were happening. The World War II generation was, beginning to age out at about that time. And so a lot of things were happening. As Vietnam wound down, the number of pilots coming out of the military decreased. So a lot of things kind of came together in the 80s that really just kind of knocked the bottom out of general aviation. And we've seen some good times since then. And, you know, right now it's not too bad, but the numbers just aren't what they once were.
Right.
But they're probably at a more sustainable level now.
Okay. So what is the future then? What do you think? Are we ever going to get back to those kind of numbers? Probably not, I'm guessing.
No, I don't think we'll ever get back to those numbers, but it is a great time to become a pilot because we've talked about on the show a couple of times, you know, Boeing's calling for, 637,000, I think it is, or 635,000 pilots needed over the next 20 years because of the booming airline industry.
Right.
So it's a great time to become a pilot. We just want some of you to hang out in general aviation for a while, too, and take advantage of all the fun things you can do with a general aviation airplane. So we're not going to get back to those 70s numbers, but I think we're going to be at a healthy number over the next 20 years or so.
Got it, because they're going to have to hire in all these new pilots, and they're not going to want to, you know, fly these big old monster planes all the time. They're going to go, hey, well, I got to go fly a sports car. I got to go get in a new Mooney and cruise around just for fun. So that's where you see potential growth for the industry maybe over the next few years, we hope.
Well, right? They also have to have airplanes available to train those new pilots. You know, you're not just going to throw them right into the flight deck of a 737 with no experience. So there needs to be
Airline. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Hopefully none of them are doing that. But yeah, they're going to have the product for them out there to train some of these folks, you know, on top of the simulators, I guess. Right, Tom?
Yeah, and you know, the United States has always been sort of the training ground for the world for aviation because it's, well, expensive enough to learn to fly here. It is less expensive than most parts of the world. And so a lot of airlines from around the world do their training or bring their pilots over here to do their training. And so the flight training business is going to be good over the next few years, and a bunch of trainers are being sucked up by the system, and the price of, you know, good 172s, for example, has gone through the roof.
Yeah. Well, just ask Ed and Keith at Flight Training Professionals. Yeah, they're not here. Why? Because they're training pilots. They don't have time
to shopping for airplanes.
Yeah, well, they have been. They've been picking up a few here and there. But yeah, it's tough. It's a tough market to get a good deal on one of those right now. But they're busy. They're looking for new airplanes, and that explains why they're not here today. But next week, I promise, we're supposed to have Captain Ed as part of the crew again, so we won't go without a flight instructor as part of the crew. But okay, so for the holidays, I do want to ask, are you doing any other special stuff other than taking up people on New Year's Day? Do you go out and do like one of those Christmas light flight type things every year too with the family or what, Tom?
Well, not every year, but certainly I do go out sometimes and look at Christmas lights. Amazing what you can see from the air. So it get a beautiful, clear, you know, winter night is really a lot of fun to go flying. But there's lots of other things. There's the Toys for Tots programs and some other toy programs where general aviation pilots volunteer their airplanes to move toys around. And then here locally, we have flyouts every holiday season called the Tangier Holly Run, which is out to Tangier Island in the Chesapeake Bay, which is a very isolated island community. And they don't have a lot there. So, and then one thing they don't have is any trees of any significance, and certainly nothing green over the holidays. So it became has become a tradition that we take big bags of holly over to the island, and as well as some gifts and toys. And that gives them something to decorate their homes with that has green and also the red berries from the holly, of course, because for the most part, they don't have Christmas trees or pretty much anything else green.
Well, there you go. I'm getting in the mode for the holidays as well. I put up two of those big laser things that are blinding the pilot's eyes in my front
yard.
Good
for you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg.
Doing my part. It took a lot less time putting up a string of lights. What the hell?
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Boy, these gusty winds appear to be playing havoc with that giant nutcracker float. At this point, I can't even see the nuts. They must have blown away.
Oh, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Santa's run off to the Caribbean. A week in the tropics and he'll be all right. Sporting a tan as he rides out of sight. Merry Christmas to all and to all. Good night.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. Yeah, I hope to run into Santa in the Turks and Caicos. I think he's going to take a little Caribbean break before he grabs a sleigh and travels around the world in 24 hours and delivers gifts.
Your luck, though, it's going to be drunken Santa from Scuba Radio
run
into.
No, that is not true at all. He won't be...
You don't think he'll find you? You're going to have an open bottle of rum on the boat. He will find you.
Well, that is possible. He could swim over from the mainland and join us on this boat. Because I'm going to be at sea for an entire week. So it's going to be a good week to be me. And, of course, when I get back, I'll tell everybody about it and rub it in, make them feel miserable. That's just what you do
when you can do trips like
that. Rub the salt in the wound, eh?
Yes. That's part of the benefits of being a diver like that and being able to do trips like that. And you guys do it to me as aviators and pilots flying around in airplanes.
Can, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just part of the thing. That's what you do. You make yourself, you build yourself up to make other people feel miserable. That's what the holidays are built on, isn't it? Wait, I got something mixed up. But regardless, I think you know what I'm trying to say, maybe. But what do we got to be thankful for or, you know, look forward to in the new year? Maybe a holiday gift for the aviation industry from your standpoint, Tom. What do you think? I mean, we've got all these new legislators coming in January 1st. So the aviation caucus, you think it's going to get bigger or smaller? Or do you have any predictions one way or another or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, right as soon as the new Congress comes into session in January, it's going to be smaller because we had quite a number of GA caucus members who either retired or got beat, and that's both in the House and the Senate. So always when we have a new Congress come in every 2 years, we have a lot of work to do. Our D.C. office staff has a lot of work to do to go out and educate these new members of Congress about general aviation and why it's important that they join the GA caucus in the House and the Senate. So that'll be a big challenge for a while, but we are the largest or have been the largest caucus out there, certainly the largest aviation caucus, and so we don't usually have a lot of trouble getting people on board. You know, general aviation is a pretty bipartisan kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's not too hard to get both Republicans and Democrats.
Well, everybody can relate. I would imagine the pitch goes like this, like, hey, new legislator that just got voted in. Welcome to D.C. How'd you get here? Oh, I flew a plane. Ah! And then,
there you go.
You know, you
just
suck him.
Simple. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe not. But yeah, I'm sure it's a bit challenging. But yeah, it's such a great group. And it's really not political. Like you said, left or right, doesn't matter. We all use them. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the importance of aviation, both from a business and economy standpoint, and just from a purely fun standpoint. They got to get there. They got to get to D.C. So you know, there is some truth into that ridiculous scenario I set up. But we will see. So that could be a gift that the aviation industry gets as more people in the aviation caucus from the legislature,
right,
and stuff that. Well, be on the lookout. I mean, overall, right now, we've had a pretty good year legislatively. I mean, we fought back a lot of stuff, especially at the beginning of the year, and now things are a little quiet. So, I don't know, is this the time where we get to bask in the glory of our work? Well, I say our work. When I say that, I mean, really, it's AOPA and all the people that Tom works with to kind of look out for aviation interest. But what do you think, Tom?
Well, you know, never resting on our laurels, right? But
so
still lots of things to be done. But wouldn't it be great now that we got, say, a five-year FAA reauthorization bill
right
in place, which means that probably privatization of air traffic control is not going to rear its head for a while. So how about we maybe try to, in that spirit of Christmas, we all get together, all the stakeholders and the airlines and general aviation and the military and everybody who uses the aviation system. Let's get together and try to create a path forward that is more positive and that where everybody can be a winner, and that we modernize the air traffic control system, which we all agree needs to be done, and try to work on some of those kind of issues.
Sure.
And then we got lots of other things pending out there, like the unleaded fuel issue. We got to get that solved, hopefully sometime soon. Drones, as you guys are already talking about, that's a big deal from an air traffic and airspace standpoint. And where do we go with that? And then, as we've often talked about, and we were just talking about earlier, growing the pilot population. There's lots of ways, things legislatively that could be done to help educate youth about aviation and really start to build the next generation of pilots. So,
absolutely,
lots to be done in D.C.
Well, my Christmas wish, would be to have everyone get along, and you know, they're talking about the one thing you do here that Trump and you know, the new Democratic House comes in, the one thing they seem to be talking about a lot is infrastructure. So that might include a lot of the airport stuff that Trump
right
wants, and maybe the Dems would jump on board. Maybe we could get something out of that for the aviation community, you think?
Right. Yep. Yeah, actually, I think so. We've got Sam Graves is up for the minority leader in the House Transportation Committee, and he is already talking about infrastructure items that we can all work together on. So, yeah, airport investments are a great place to create jobs and to build infrastructure that lasts for decades when you're adding runways or improving airports. So it's a good investment.
Yeah. I when I see all these stories and I watch the videos of like the airport in Singapore, and I'm like, why don't we have that? Now, look, we have a pretty nice airport in Orlando. I'll tell you. For the U.S., I think it's pretty good. But, man, it's nothing like what they got. They got terrariums and movie theaters, all kinds of crazy stuff in there. It's like a destination. It's like going to Disney World, but it's the airport or something. We need more of those, I think. Is it just my crazy Christmas wish, or are you feeling that too?
No, I agree. I've been to the airport in Singapore. It is an amazing place. You're right. It is a destination in and of itself with a shopping mall and outdoor gardens.
Lots of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, there you go.
We need more of that here. You're right.
And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.